Welcome to Pep Talk with Bridget Kay.
This hour is presented by Key Marine, who's responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
I ain't got a high-powered motor. I don't own a wakeboard. I got a 1970 Morton guitar and an outdoor carpet dance floor. I got burgers on the grill and beer on ice, and I'll probably be seeing you soon. I ain't making no waves, ain't starting no fights, just cruising in my pontoon. All I need is
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Stefan Schmidt. What's going on, Stefan?
Well, good morning, Pensacola, and you are listening to Boat Smart. It looks like the weather's going to be great for the weekend. A little chance of showers here and there, but people should get their boats out and go out and enjoy the nice weekend coming up. And I hope everybody had a safe Memorial Day weekend. I didn't hear anything really bad going on as far as that goes, because we were talking about safety and stuff all last week, and I want to touch base on that again. But after that, I'm going to move on to cooling systems today, and we're going to start that theme today and talk about cooling systems. So you are listening to Boat Smart. It is a call-in show. You can call us at 850-437-1620. That's 850-437-1620. I will answer any of your boating questions you may have. Maybe you have a question about my program over at George Stone Technical College as well, the Marine Service Technology Program. You can call in about that, and we'd be more than happy to answer those questions as well. Boat Smart is sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine is located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola. 850-492-0487 is their phone number. Key Marine is your Yamaha and Mercury repower center. Special discounted pricing on all Mercury and Yamaha motors. Key Marine specializes in service and repair of all Mercury, Mercruiser, and Yamaha product. They have trained technicians that can provide top-notch product service and repair. They have several of my students out there working that have already graduated from my class as well. I'd like to let people know that as well. And you can also check them out on Facebook. That's where they put up their maybe consignment sales, the specials they have going on, that type of stuff. So check them out on Facebook as well. Right now, their lobby is still closed, but they are assisting customers curbside as well. So as soon as that changes, we'll definitely let you know on that. I am the Marine instructor of George Stone Technical College. George Stone is located at 2400 Longleaf Drive here in Pensacola. The website is georgestonetechnicalcollege.edu. That's georgestonetechnicalcollege.edu. You can call them at 850-941-6200. They also have the chat feature on there as well on the website. So you can check that out. It's right on the first page when you log into the George Stone Technical College website. It's a little chat feature, and you get to chat with people at George Stone, the counselors, and they can answer your questions and things right there on the website. Also, scholarships are available. You must pre-qualify for those. And we also have VA and Pell Grants also available. So check that out as well. So George Stone, a great place to get an education and in different technical fields. And we are more than happy to answer your questions and help you with your goals as far as maybe changing your career or starting a new career. Hopefully the career would be in the Marine Service Technology. That would be the career that I would choose if I was looking for a new career. And I tell you what, people are really looking for technicians. I'm getting phone calls. I've had a couple today already, and people just continue to look for Marine technicians. There's just not enough out there to take care of the supply and demand, if you will, of boat repair. And things are really getting technical in the Marine industry. So not only do you learn how to actually learn the basics at Marine Service Technology class, but you also learn about the technical side of it, using a laptop and scanning engines and that type of stuff. So it's very exciting what we do over there. Hopefully we're going to get back in the classroom in July for a full month of hands-on. That's the game plan at this point. So hopefully that's going to happen and we can make that happen as well. So last week we were talking safety, and I had a caller ask about children's life jacket. So I thought that was very important to go over that. So I'm going to touch base on that before I go on to my next subject. And here's what the Coast Guard says. Children under 6 years of age must wear a Coast Guard approved life jacket at all times while on a vessel less than 26 feet in length that is underway upon Florida waters. Okay. So if they're on a vessel that is less than 26 feet, they must wear a life jacket, and they're saying that it must be, if it's underway, in other words, moving, engine running away from the dock or moving, so that is when they must wear a life jacket. So that's a good information to sit out there. So any kid under 6 years old must wear a life jacket and make sure it fits them as well.
So that's under so 6 years old?
Yep, it says age. It says under 6 years of age must wear life jacket. So I would assume that would be up to 5 years old.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't know if I heard you correctly. So
yeah,
you have to make sure the entire time they're on the boat, just not when it's running.
Yeah, but it says any foot boat that is less than 26 feet in length and is underway. So in other words, the boat is moving, okay? So if it's underway and moving, so I would assume not anchored, or, you know, if it's not anchored or it's moving off the dock, they must have a life jacket on. You know, I have a lot of friends that have smaller children, and I see them post pictures on Facebook, and I'm always kind of getting on to them if I don't see a life jacket on their young ones, you know, when they're on a boat or something. I prefer that they have a life jacket on, and, you know, when you're walking down a dock toward the boat as well, because you never know what can happen at the dock trying to get on the boat and that type of stuff, where you can actually fall off the dock. Between the boat and the dock or what have you, it'd be a good idea to have a life jacket on that child as well. So
absolutely.
That's just my opinion. You know, I said you can't be too safe, I don't think. So, especially when it comes to small children, for sure. So let's move on to cooling systems. I thought since it's starting to get warm outside and people are out there, it's crazy how many people are using their boats nowadays. And that it's just, even on weekdays, they're out there using their boats and enjoying this weather that we have. So I wanted to touch on cooling systems, and we'll touch base on outboard cooling systems, two-stroke, four-stroke outboards, and as well as maybe stern drives and inboard engines as well. So I wanted to start out with cooling systems, and I had a question. The question is, are cooling systems designed to keep engines cool? That's a interesting question to me, because when you start thinking about cooling systems, are they designed to keep the engines cool? In a way, they are designed to keep engines cool, but what the real scenario is, cooling systems are designed to regulate temperature, to keep an engine, to warm an engine up to a certain temperature, and then to make sure that it doesn't overheat past that temperature, and to keep that engine running at a optimal temperature for a long life of the engine. You can actually have an engine that runs too cold, and you can do damage with an engine that's running too cold. Not as quickly as you can with an engine that overheats, but you definitely can do damage to an engine when it's running cool. So engines are supposed to run at a particular temperature, which is depending on two-stroke, four-stroke, fuel injected, what have you. All these engines run at different temperatures. Typically, a two-stroke outboard, they're going to run somewhere around a 145-degree range. When you start talking about fuel-injected motors, you're looking at around 165 or so up into 175 range in that area. So depending on what the manufacturer recommends, that's where you want the engine to run as far as temperatures go. So the answer to that question is, yes, the cooling system is designed to keep the engine from overheating, but if you look at the entire cooling system, you want the engine to stay at a particular temperature for long life of the engine, and also for the components on the engine to work properly. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. And it's really important to remember all of that, especially
if you don't know.
Geez, there's so many things to remember that I feel like I have to take notes every time we come on the show.
Yeah, maybe I should do a note sheet that we can pop up on the website.
Yeah, like a little worksheet. Like, follow along here.
Well, you know, you really don't need to take notes. What you can do is you can take your boat out to Key Marine and let them service your engine and take care of it for you and do it on a time frame type basis. So that would bring my next question is, when to service your engine as far as your cooling system is concerned? And here's what I recommend, okay? If you purchase a brand new boat, motor has 0 hours or very limited hours on it, I would recommend the first year of ownership of that boat is to go ahead and get your service done. You have a 20-hour service, which does not include a water pump. It's typically a lubrication change. But then after you run your boat for a year to 100 hours or so, you want to go ahead and service the entire boat, get your engine oil changed again, your water pump, service the engine at that point. Depending on saltwater, freshwater, those intervals can change as well. But I recommend, whether it's on a brand new boat, that you service that engine the very first year. You find a reputable place to take your motor and your boat, and you let them service it for you. And at that point, you can decide from there on out how often you want to service the engine as far as the cooling system is concerned. So once you do it the first year, you can get a good idea by looking at the parts and components that the dealership is servicing for you, if you can do it and get away with doing it possibly on a every other year or something like that. Or they may recommend that you service it yearly, depending on your habits, if you're flushing the motor, that type of thing. So it just depends on your habits and what areas you're running your boat. So do that first service on a brand new boat within the first year, okay? Now, if you're purchasing a used boat, possibly, I would recommend that you try to get good records on the boat. Many times when you buy a boat from a dealership, such as Key Marine, they've already done that service for you. So you have a good record of when the service is done, whenever you buy a used boat from a dealership of that type. So if you don't have good records, good reliable records, I would recommend doing the service immediately, so you have a baseline. And if you're not comfortable with the fact that you don't know if the boat's been serviced or not, I would take it out to somebody and get it done, and then get a good baseline. And that way you can start your service interval as far as the cooling system is concerned. So on a used boat, definitely try to get good records on it and try to make sure that if you don't feel comfortable, get that service done immediately. That way you have a good baseline, because taking care of your cooling system is going to help you take care of a long life of the engine as well. So making sure that you do that as well. Again, this is a call-in show. You can call us at 850-437-1620. You can also text us as well. Last week we had text. I think that's where that life jacket question came
from. Yeah, that was a text message question.
Yep. So you can text us that as well. And we're more than happy to answer questions. And it doesn't have to be with cooling systems. It could be about anything that you may have an issue with on your boat, or you're interested in the class over at Georgetown Technical College as well. So that's kind of the intervals that I would recommend, whether it's an outboard, whether it's a four-stroke, two-stroke outboard, stern drive, or inboard. I would recommend that you do those intervals. A new boat, very first year, used boat, make sure that you have good service records on it. And if you do not, do it immediately. That way you have a baseline to work with. And I think the baseline is so very important. I've serviced boats in the past and found that some customers may need it every 6 months, because these customers are using their boats as dredges and they're running into silt and sand and actually messing up the water pump pretty quickly. So it just depends on the customer as well. So that 100-hour, once-a-year type service may not be good for certain people. It just depends on the way they run their boat and that type of thing. So that's what I recommend on the service. Okay, so now, I know I'm going really quick on this, but we only have a half hour. Sometimes my students have to slow me down as well. Sometimes in classroom. So that's why I do PowerPoints.
Keep it moving along.
So, all right. So we've talked about when to service. We talked about the fact that the cooling system is designed to regulate temperature, that type of thing. And also on these newer motors, okay, many of all the newer motors, when you get into the newer fuel-injected motors, rely on engine temperature to tell the ECM, to let the ECM know what the engine should be doing at a particular time, okay? So if I start my engine up and it's cool, the engine is actually going to advance the timing to let the engine start a little higher in RPM, to allow it to warm up to operating temperature. You know, when you get in your car, Bridget, sometimes on a cool day, the engine will idle up a little bit, maybe 200 or 300 RPMs higher.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason it's doing that, it's wanting to bring your engine temperature up to an operational temperature, an optimal temperature, so the engine will last a long period of time and all the other systems will work. So outboards and stern drives and inboards are the same way. When you crank them up, they want to go up into a higher RPM. And the way they're doing that is they're monitoring the engine temperature through a sensor, okay? So if you have an engine that has a cooling system that is running too cold, the engine may not ever come out of that mode. So what you start to get is an engine that's idling higher than it should. You get an engine that's running a little bit richer than it should because it's adding more fuel and a little bit of timing there, trying to get the engine to idle up so until it comes up to its operational temperature. And this can cause many, many problems for engines, okay? It can cause catastrophic failure. When an engine is idling high and the ECM thinks that the engine is cold, it's dumping more fuel into it, it's trying to get that engine to warm up into operational temperature area, and it's dumping more fuel, that extra fuel can cause a lot of problems in the crankcase, and it can actually dump enough fuel in there to bypass the rings and get into the engine oil and cause the engine oil to thin out, and then, of course, you have catastrophic failure at that time. The customer don't always know that the engine, they're just going to know that their engine's running a little higher. And also what can happen is sometimes if the engine's running hot, they're putting the engine in gear. And engines are to go into gear, most gear cases want you to shift into gear somewhere around 750 to 850 RPMs. And if the engine's idling at 1200 RPMs and you go into gear, that can cause gear case damage. So it's very important to make sure that the engine temperature is correct, whether it's cold or hot. So that's a very important thing, especially on these late model newer motors, because they rely heavily on engine temperature to operate properly as far as the fuel system goes and timing and that kind of stuff. So that's very important as well. So let's think about parts of the cooling system. If I have a motor that comes to me, customer brings me an engine and tells me that they're having an overheat problem, their temperature gauge is running up, or they're getting some kind of an alarm or something, they believe they have an overheat problem. The very first thing I'm going to do is talk to the customer. That's my first part of my troubleshooting process. But I'm going to ask them, when was the last time the water pump was serviced? Who serviced it? That type of thing. When was the cooling system serviced? If they can give me those answers, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to change my typical way of troubleshooting, because I'm basically going to go, most of the time, I'm going to go straight to the water pump. That's particularly where I start. I go to the water pump and I check the components of the water pump. That means I'm going to pull the gear case or the drive or the engine pump, and I'm going to check its condition and see what it looks like. So that's one of the places that you would start on a cooling system problem. The other area on outboards, you have thermostats and pocket valves. Those are areas in the outboard that can be problematic. Thermostats is what regulates the engine temperature. The thermostat has to be the correct thermostat for the engine, the correct temperature. And also, it has to have the ability to open and close when needed. So, especially in our saltwater area, there are times where people do not flush their cooling system, they don't flush their engine out properly, and those thermostats get corroded and they can stick open or they can stick closed. So those are reasons why you would check the thermostats. And then you have poppet valves on outboards, which basically regulate the flow of water through the engine. At idle, it allows the engine to stay full of water. And then when you throttle the engine up, the poppet valve opens up and allows more water to flow through the engine. Most engines, when they're running in a wide open throttle type position, thermostats are wide open and the poppet valves are wide open. If any of these areas are sticking or are causing some issues, whether either closed or open, that could cause either an overheat or an engine running too cool. So those are areas that I always check whenever we're doing a cooling system troubleshooting. So those are areas that not necessarily the customer can check, but definitely the technician can check those areas as well. So when you start thinking about components and things like that, you can see that we're saying, okay, flushing the engine is so very important. That's a very important step of keeping the cooling system lasting a long period of time, is flushing the engine. So as you come back from running the engine that day, you want to definitely flush the engine. I prefer that you do it immediately as soon as you get back to your house or wherever you store your engine, your boat. You want to flush the motor out and get all that salt water and residue out of the engine as quickly as possible, even if you're running in fresh water as well. There's silt and things in the freshwater can cause cooling system problems as well.
Very good. 850-437-1620. 850-437-1620. If you have a question or a comment for Stefan about George Stone, about anything with your boating maintenance needs, you can give us a call or give us a text. What else do you have going on, Stefan?
Well, I tell you, you know, not being in school right now, not a whole lot going on for me.
When does it start back up?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're hoping to go back in July. That's kind of what we're looking at doing, is going back in July. So we'll see about that. The last conversation we had with the principal was the game plan is to go back in July. With not all classes are going to do that. I know the Marine Service class is going to come back in July if we're allowed to. Welding is going to come back. IT is going to come back in July. The aviation program is still running over there. They've been running since for about 3 weeks now. So they're already in session over there as long. And I believe also EMT firefighting is running right now. And also the area where they train our police officers, they're running right now as well. So those three are running, but our IT department, welding, and Marine Service and Electrical are planning on coming back in July for a full month of all hands on to catch our students back up. You know, it's difficult for us because I've had a lot of phone calls and stuff, and it actually put a hamper on us because trying to get some hands-on experience with my students was none. There was none other than unless they were working on stuff on, you know, at their house or something, and I was able to kind of monitor it that way. But we got a lot of places that are still looking for people, and right now I have nobody that I can place because I've already placed everybody that I had eligible. And so that's kind of a difficult position to be in. I guess it's kind of like not having your shell stocked, and there's a big demand, and there's a big demand right now for Marine technicians. So I'm constantly talking to different people out in the industry, trying to stay in touch with them. So when I do have people available, that we can get them out there as quickly as possible to them once they're trained up and ready to go. So it is a difficult time for us right now trying to place students that we don't have.
Yeah.
It's just, and you know, when I think about that, and I always want to have somebody available. And a lot of times, many times, places will kind of wait on us to have somebody available if it's a matter of a few weeks or something like that. But I don't want to lose that opportunity either. So that's why I try to stay in touch with my with the manufacturers, Yamaha and Mercury, and they're telling people out in the industry what's going on with us and that type of thing. And Yamaha reached out to me a couple of days ago. There's a dealership down in Fort Walton looking for several technicians of all levels. And again, I just have nobody that I can place out there at this time. So it's difficult, you know, but we're going to get through it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody's kind of, you know, feeling the same way as things are starting to ramp up, especially the marine industry. I know with it being summertime now, I mean, last weekend was just crazy busy on the water. And I think we're going to be seeing that for the foreseeable future, especially with a lot of things still closed.
Oh, yeah, I believe it. And with gas prices down and that type of thing, and people are selling boats. The dealerships are selling boats right now to a lot of different people. I had my niece from Missouri send me a text message yesterday. Hey, we're thinking about buying a boat. What do you recommend? So I was able to recommend something for them, and we're going to help them find a boat. Even though it's in Missouri, you know, there is some water up there, and they're planning on buying a deck boat. So I'm going to work with them for the next few months or so to get them into a boat as well. So I do that as well. So if you have any questions on that, I'm more than happy to answer those. Whether you want to text or email or call or whatever, I'm more happy to do that as well.
I love it. Well, Stefan, we have about a minute left on the program, so why don't we kind of recap everything for everybody?
Wow, this thing goes fast, don't it? I'll tell you what, you are listening to Boat Smart, and we appreciate you listening in today. Boat Smart is sponsored by Key Marine Center of Northwest Florida. Key Marine is located at 5621 Bower Road here in Pensacola, 850-492-0487. Remember, they are your Yamaha and Mercury Repower Center. Their prices will not be beat by anybody. They guarantee that you can get the best pricing out there on repowers, and they have special discount pricing on all Yamaha and Mercury products as well. And also check out George Technical College over on 2400 Longleaf Drive. GeorgeStoneTechnicalCollege.edu is the place to go on the web, and there's all kinds of information up there as far as scholarships, Pell Grants. Check out their chat feature as well, so the counselors can talk to you right away. So check them out as well.
I love it. Thank you so much, Stefan. We'll see you next week. We have Frisky Friday coming up next, but first, what's going on, Mark?
Manslaughter charges in a deadly accident on I-10. Details coming up after Fox News.
Chris Foster. Prosecutors in Minnesota say they will not rush charges against four police officers fired over the death of a man whose neck was under one of the cops' knees for several minutes. A third night of protests, the most violent so far. Fire.